Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palullo and Josh Jordan. You can find them on X at Palullo and at Josh Jordan 975. And in between episodes of our show here, you can read their blogs covering all things used in sports over on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the Astros do some spring cleaning after seeing some old friends. Their pitching has been excellent, but don't look now. But some of those bats are finally, maybe, starting to wake up. And we've got reports hinting at another possible position change in the outfield. We'll dig into all that and more. Astros wrapped the 5-1 homestand by completing the sweep versus the Jays, who dislike hitting at Daikin worse than Yordan. They muster just 9 hits and 2 runs over that series at the hands of Houston pitching, which continues to be stellar. 4th in ERA, 2nd in hits per 9. I know a lot of people are tuning in because they probably want to hear us talk about DiCenzo and Walker, but Houston's number 3 starter went down with a broken thumb just a couple weeks ago. And not only did they not see a fall off statistically, the team's gotten a little better. Charlie, you're the ultimate pragmatist, which is why we like talking to you. I mentioned some of the stats there. How likely do you think it is that we see Houston keep this pace up?
Well, they head to the weekend with the 2nd best earned run average in the American League, 3.26 after, as you noted, just absolutely shackling the Blue Jays. I don't think they're wildly over their head. Arrighetti slotted 3rd in the rotation, but he clearly was no better than their number 4 returning starter after Valdez, Brown, and Ronel Blanco. Espada just decided to drop Arrighetti into the 3 spot. Right, he pitched really as their number 5 starter last season, better after the All-Star break, but you add it all up, a 4.50 ERA, 4.53 ERA. So it wasn't like losing Framber Valdez or a Hunter Brown. And one man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. Ryan Gusto hangs another solid start on the board, and he is penalized the nebulous definition of a quality start where you have to go 6 innings. You can give up 3 runs. That's a 4.50 ERA. That's not a quality start. That's really a keep your team in the game start, but that's probably too wordy. But Gusto, you go 5 2/3, give up 1 run. That's quality. And the Astros bullpen, the length is shaped up quite nicely to this point. Forrest Whitley debuting in the series with 2 excellent innings. And you're going to get Caleb Ord on the way. And the King Abreu hater troika continues to be pretty airtight. And hey, with that lineup, which we'll delve into more deeply, I'm sure, as we go, welcome to the season, Christian Walker. So 5-1 homestand, and there's always going to be overreaction. I mean, that's a divine right of fandom. And I'm sure many people now would say, well, 13-11, what's so good about that? 13-11 is good. You win at that rate the whole season, you win 87 games, and that might win this division, right? Last season, 88 did, the season before 90. At minimum, you're in the wild card race to the final week of the season. And there's just still not enough bulk to separate, right? 13-11 is an 87 win pace. If they were 1 win better, 14-10, well, they'd be tied for first place. And they'd be on pace to win 94 games. Well, which is the more likely total for the Astros in 2025? 87 wins or 94 wins? I would go with the 87. So they're basically right on schedule.
Yeah, I think it's completely sustainable. You look at their pitching right now, they're top 5 in almost every important category. And then you look back at 2024, pretty similar. They were top 6 in ERA, batting average against, they were 4th. So this is just what the Astros do. And a lot of these guys are the same pitchers. I know there's some new faces, but for the most part, you know, Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, they're doing what they do. Brown could get even better. Framber could definitely has room for improvement. He's been okay, but not great. Looks like Ronel Blanco's finally starting to get going after, you know, he had that really poor start early in the season. So I think it looks good. Gusto, he's pitching well. I know he throws a lot of strikes, and we're kind of wondering whether when the other shoe's going to drop. But, you know, his strike zone contact percentage is actually a little better than like Framber, Wesneski, Blanco. So just because he throws a lot of strikes doesn't mean bats are, you know, getting to the ball there. So he's pitching well. You got McCullers, hopefully, fingers crossed, coming back. So you get another addition there. So I think the pitching's absolutely sustainable. This is what the Astros do, and they're going to need it. We know the bats, they come and they go. But if the pitching's solid, that's going to keep you in a lot of ball games. And I don't see why they can't continue.
Yeah, and in a 3-game series, a postseason 5-game series, 7-game series, a couple of individuals can take it over. over 162. It's about the collective. It's about the bulk of work. Obviously, there is zero chance of Hunter Brown pitching to a 1.16 earned run average all season. Well, if you double that to 232, he's in at the very end to win the Cy Young Award. And as Brown's ERA goes up, Framber Valdez still with ample room to drop his down. So it's about the team, and then you get Arrigetti back. Maybe you get a little something out of McCullers. And that this is a top three ERA staff is totally on the board.
A thing that is sustainable is the AL West being mid. There's only a three-game gap currently between first and last place. Houston will eventually get some help with Texas and Seattle playing one another. But in the meantime, upcoming schedule, Houston at Royals versus Tigers at White Sox. Texas a little harder of a schedule with at Giants versus A's versus Mariners. That's in the middle of playing like a billion games with the A's. And then Seattle versus Marlins versus Angels, and then at Rangers. So there's a possibility that over the next couple of weeks, or at least week and a half or so, we could see both Houston and Seattle leapfrog Texas in the standings because everything's just so tight. Houston's won 5 series now to 3 lost, and it's still early, but Houston is tied for 22nd in runs scored per game. Teams with less runs per game, Braves, Pirates, Twins, Jays, Rockies, Rangers, White Sox, and Royals. So not the company that you want to be keeping, but obviously that makes the importance of the pitching staff that much higher. Now, we are starting to see some sustained success from Walker. We hope that Yordan and Diaz find it. Zach DiCenzo making the most with limited time here. Charlie, give me the glass half full pitch on Houston's offense.
Well, from Trek to below average is progress. And Christian Walker, we're still early enough that you can jack up your OPS more than 100 points in 2 games. Now, 2 games do not a turnaround make that, okay, he's money the rest of the way, but you just wanted to detect a heartbeat, you know, a little less faint of a pulse. And Christian Walker gave that. Yordan still doesn't have it going, and the team's trending in the right direction. Espada, just a little bit of a shake, nothing drastic, but flipping Yordan up to the 2 spot ahead of Isak Paredes, you know, the protection thing, just a little bit of a jumble. Yordan still only a 6.61 OPS. That is lousy, but he's the ticking time bomb. It's going to detonate at some point, right? And so with Yordan still struggling mightily, look, for the last 2 weeks plus, Altuve's been terrible. I think we're to the point of mild concern about Altuve in the new phase of his career. OPS of sub 600 over the last 14 games because the batting average has tailed off, and he's only walked twice over those 14 games. He also only has 2 doubles, the only extra base hits he has over those 14 games. Now, I would add, Jose Altuve flat out sucked all of last May. 573 OPS, I think it was. And he went on to have a fine season, but not close to the guy he was in 2022 and 2023. Finished with a 790 OPS last season. That was Altuve's worst season, throwing out the short COVID season when he was a mess. His worst OPS season since he became star Jose Altuve. You have to go back all the way to 2013 for a lower OPS season, full season for Altuve than he had last year. Well, he's now about 50 points below that number. Still, a hot week could really bump things back up, take him back over 800. But if he's going to settle in the mid-sevens, that's still a good, viable player. But it packs less wallop if you're doing it primarily as a left fielder than as a second baseman. And the fact that Jose Altuve, always a free swinger, but he just has never struck out like this before. 22 times in 24 games, while walking at the lowest rate in over a decade, those numbers are troubling trends. Not that he's turning into Mauricio Dubon or anything as an offensive player, but the Altuve bar that he has set for so long is so high, and you throw in he's a couple of weeks away from turning 35 years old and he's in the first year of a 5-year, $125 million extension, it at least bears watching.
Let me stick with Altuve for a moment here. The eye test is bad. He's just swinging a lot of pitches in the dirt, and what I've kind of come to find out is 2-2 counts is where he's really been awful. Because if you're a pitcher with a 2-2 count, you know you can throw him anything and he's pretty much going to swing at it. And it's really interesting. I took a look at the stats here. In a 2-2 count, he's hitting 154 this year. 7 strikeouts and 14 plate appearances. So when he gets there and he's got 2 strikes on him, he's very willing to swing the bat at pretty much anything. But what's really amazing, though, you jump to a 3-2 count with Altuve, his OPS is a whopping 930. What a huge difference that makes between a 2-2 count and a 3-2 count. And that's because pitchers know they can waste a pitch with Altuve, and they know he has to protect the plate because there's 2 strikes. They also know Yordan's on deck. At least he is now hitting second. So you're with 3-2 count, you're not as willing to go out of the zone and expand with Altuve. So I think that's something that he could really clean up if he could just be a little more disciplined on 2-2 and try and make sure that pitch is in the zone. The other thing I noticed is how bad he's been with bases loaded. There's only a few examples of that, but the team as a whole is just awful with bases loaded this year. They are hitting 111, 31 plate appearances, and 3 hits. And if you're watching these Astros games, you see it all the time. When the bases get loaded, you're like, uh-oh, I guess this inning's just about over. It's really crazy to think. So if they could just clean up those little things, we could see a real big spike for Altuve and the offense as a whole. And Brandon asked for some positivity stuff. How about this is positive? Christian Walker now has a higher slugging percentage than Yordan Alvarez. So we just talked about last week that I actually kind of feel okay about Yiner and about Christian Walker, because if Yordan is struggling this much, then it gives me hope that these other guys that, you know, no shot against them, but they're not as good a hitters as Yordan. If Yordan's struggling, there's time for them to turn it around. So I think that's something that, it's early. If Walker can turn his around that quickly and now have a higher slug than Yordan, if he gets hot, you know what he can do. I think once that happens, this offense is really going to take off.
Talk to me about Jeremy Pena, because the eye test, it appears to me that Jeremy Pena is putting some good at-bats together. But then I look and his average is just right around where his career average is at. OPS is a little higher than what his career OPS is. What are you seeing versus performance, eye test out of Jeremy Pena so far this season?
Obviously, he's not a cleanup hitter in a lineup that is really good, but necessity as the mother of invention. I'm pretty sure Joe DiMaggio is not spinning in the graves just yet. Neither is Willie Taveras, in part because Willie Taveras is still among us. 14-game hitting streak, one quarter of the way to DiMaggio. Willie T, with the Astros franchise record of 30, set back in 2006. Pena, he only has 17 hits during this 14-game hitting streak, only 2 multi-hit games. You know, he's putting together 1-for-4, 1-for-4, 1-for-4. Had a 3-hit game in the Toronto series, one other 2-hit game along the way. So it's not like he's going off, but in conjunction with the 14-game hitting streak, he has walked 6 times over those 14 games. And there's always a little room for a little aberration. You can have a couple of plate appearances where the pitcher's nowhere close to the plate and you didn't really work the walk. But Pena's laid off a couple of 3-2 breaking pitches. Mm-hmm. And he's always going to be vulnerable to them, because you know what? Most hitters are. That's why the slider and now the new age sweeper are effective pitches, right? Plenty of elite hitters can struggle with good breaking stuff. Pena's not an elite hitter, but you throw in the speed that infield hits pad the batting average. Last season, he and Bobby Witt Jr., top 2 in the majors, 30-plus infield hits. So that'll goose the batting average a little bit. Obviously, from the cleanup position, you're thinking, hey, power in there. Pena's hitting the ball hard. He gets the occasional lift. I don't think he's going to be a 25 home run guy that you associate with hitting in the 4 spot, but if the batting average is 270-ish and he is walking at about twice the rate that he has in his career to this point, if he draws 50 walks, I am fine with that. He will score more runs as a result. He'll steal more bases as a result of getting on base and creating more opportunities to drive in runs for guys behind him in the lineup, wherever he happens to be batting in the lineup. I think it's a 724, 718, somewhere in that range, OPS for Pena heading into the weekend series in Kansas City. If you could tell me Pena's going to finish this season at 730 plus, I'd say lock it in. And that's a very good player, given his defense, which has been sterling so far this season. The Astros' infield defense overall, absolutely superior, and helping that pitching staff to the second best ERA in the AL.
Yeah, and Pena's speed is going to get you some extra base hits. We've already seen a few of them this year. He's just really good at that. He's super fast. That's part of it. Brandon, it's funny you said that. I put some numbers together on Pena because I was like, we feel like he's so much better, but a lot of the numbers are very similar. Blummer mentioned on the broadcast last night that his hard hit percentage is up 10% this year. And we've seen that. That makes sense to me. But you're right, because what's similar is his average and his slug this year are actually worse. But his on-base percentage, his OPS, OPS plus, they've improved. So that's what we asked him to do, though, right? Is try and get on base more, try not to strike out so much. And he's achieving that, and he's hitting the ball harder. So overall, and Charlie mentioned the elite defense, I like what I'm seeing from Pena, but I think you're onto something, Brandon. In the stats at the end of the year, maybe it won't be so obvious that Pena had a big uptick. But just a little bit, just him getting his on-base percentage up above 325, something like that, if he could finish there, that would make a big difference, especially get on base for the guys behind you. And I don't think he's a cleanup hitter either, Charlie, but I wonder if Espada is kind of thinking, instead of stacking everybody at the top of the lineup, maybe let's get some guys on in between. I think that's why we're seeing, you know, Cam Smith hitting last some of the time, and why Pena hitting fourth. If he gets on, he gives Walker an opportunity to drive in a run. So maybe he's just kind of, instead of just making the lineup so top heavy, he's trying to make it a little more balanced.
Just kind of vibes, just feels like he's contributing to this team in a timely manner. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, you can contact our friends on the sales team over at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is also in our description. We were running long last episode, so we really didn't get to dive into this, but Cam Smith, never mind that the guy is having some of the best at-bats on the team, but the dude is playing right field at a high level. Have you guys seen he's 4 defensive runs saved above average right now? Chandler Rome reported Wednesday that Smith was taking fly balls in center. And while Rome says that the Astros aren't outwardly discussing him playing center, we've seen this story before with Altuve. How likely or soon do you think we could see the Astros make another shakeup in the outfield? And I think this has to be for the purpose of probably trying to work in Zach DiCenzo.
If it's another card that Joe Espada has to play in his hand, it makes sense. Smith, we've talked about, he's just a fluid athlete, and he's fast. After Pena, he might be the second fastest guy on this team. Jake Myers probably would say, hey, include me in the race. The throwing arm is just outstanding. Cam Smith is a specimen. In terms of a longer-term center field option, premature because Myers plays such elite defense. And DiCenzo had a couple of nice games. It doesn't mean that, hey, he should be the everyday left fielder. It's about sustainability. DiCenzo in his playing time last year was no better offensively than Jake Myers, and obviously he's not close to him defensively. So, hey, meritocracy. It's like it's second base. Rogers is the majority playing time guy over Dubon. Whoever my second baseman is, if you have a good game, you're playing again the next day. And if it's Brendan Rogers, maybe if you don't have a good game, you might still play one more day. If you're my majority second baseman. And I think you can treat it that same way in the outfield, with Cam Smith still being a very strong majority of the time starter in right field. I don't want him playing 60% of the games. I want him playing at least 80% of the games, if there's any level of performance justifying that. And Cam Smith certainly has delivered to that extent. You know, Aaron Judge is probably the foremost example of a big center fielder, and he's a really jumbo-sized center fielder. And the Yankees wanted him out of center field because he's now 33 years old. Hey, Cam Smith is 22 years old. So if the Astros had one other big-time outfielder who profiled only as a corner outfielder, and you're moving on from Jake Myers at some point, Cam Smith in center field may well have viability to it, especially when he's so young and athletically fit and vigorous, as were we all at 22 on a sliding scale.
To me, it tells me that he took on this new role in right field so easily, it seems, that why not challenge him some more and see what he can do? And if you think about Myers, you think about Chaz, those are guys that can play center. If Jake Myers needed to play the corner position, he could. It's not like his arm really justifies it, but if you were in a pinch, he could do it. So why not get Cam just like Chaz, just like Jake Myers, to where you can move him around? And that gives you an option too. If you're just talking about throwing arms, imagine how much better center and right field would be with DiZenzo and with Cam Smith. But obviously Jake Meyers is spectacular in other ways in the outfield. So I think it's a lot about getting different options. If you need to move people around, you can do it. And he's just an electric player, man. See what he can do. If he could do this in a few months, imagine how good he could be at the end of the year. And you could say, oh, let's hold off and wait. But why? That doesn't seem to be the Astros' MO right now. They're willing to experiment with some stuff. And it occurred to me the other day, God, wouldn't it be awesome if DiZenzo could play second base? You know, just if that was a possibility, how much better this ball club could possibly be. Obviously, it doesn't look like that's the case, which is a shame because obviously he can run or he wouldn't be playing in the outfield. But we know second base, a little bit different skill set. But you have to wonder, is this more of a mix and match kind of thing like we talked about before the season? Like they want to get their best possible defensive infield out there for Hunter Brown and Fromber. But on other days, maybe you can mix and match. It's a lot of options that Joe Espada has. You have to like that. And it just tells me Cam Smith, we're just scratching the surface of what this guy can do. He already has a better eye than a lot of guys on the team, at least so far. And he's a plus outfielder. Man, everything's pointing up for Cam Smith.
For just $400-500 million, you can bring back Kyle Tucker to play right field next season. And Cam Smith makes a very smooth transition to center. And then you have totally won that trade.
This is a best possible case scenario for Espada, though, if this is able to sustain, because then you don't have to sub out Cam Smith for defensive purposes because he's one of your better defensive options in right field. We've seen them go to Chaz late in games. Again, small sample size, we have to see. But Charlie, to your point, the athleticism lends itself to this being a sustained performance from him out in the outfield. What do you guys think about these, you know, as we wrap up the show here, kind of the pecking order of where we're at? You know, Zach DiZenzo starting to put some at-bats together. Again, it's a small sample size, probably the smallest sample size, fewest at-bats on the team right now. But these battles where, you know, Zach DiZenzo over Chaz or Rogers versus Dubon, where do you guys see the pecking order ultimately playing out here?
Well, as I said, at second base, that's how I view DiZenzo. It was two games. But if you go in there and you bang out two hits or three hits, hey, you give him another shot the next day. Surf the wave while it's there to be surfed. But, you know, with the Yordan Altuve conundrum on divvying playing time and when do you spot Altuve at second base with Christian Walker sitting up in the premature grave that some people had put him in, first base really isn't in play for DiZenzo other than as the occasional fill-in. That's probably the path. The occasional start for Cam Smith, the occasional start for Christian Walker. Isak Paredes is posted every game when he gets a day off. Would they feel all right with putting DiZenzo over at third base, even if he hadn't worn a third baseman's glove for a little bit? But I think a path to regular playing time is very difficult to find for him because the only spot forward would be second base. And I just think he's too tall to be a guy they'll view as a major league defensively competent second baseman.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was kind of my concern a little earlier in the season when DiZenzo was getting no time. And I was like, if he's not going to play, I'd like to see him go to the minors. And I get that he's not a top prospect, but I see something in him, at least so far. I think he's earned to play a little bit more. And I think he's a little better than your typical, you know, really good AAA player that we've seen come through with the Astros that never did anything on the big league level. I think he's actually got a chance to be a regular player in Major League Baseball. So I want to see him get more opportunities and we'll see how Espada does it, but he has been kind of playing the hot hand here. So and if Meyer starts to fall off, I wouldn't be surprised if they change that around a little bit. And Brandon, you brought up a good point. They're still replacing Cam Smith late in games with Chaz McCormick. But a lot of the time they're leaving Altuve in there. I'm kind of getting to the point where who would you trust more in the outfield defensively between Altuve and Cam Smith? I'm starting to wonder if that might shift a little bit because we know the arm is something that Altuve's never really going to make a big step forward. He can try and be quicker with his transfer and he can try and position himself, that kind of thing. But overall, he's got a weak arm, and that's not changing. And we know Cam Smith, he's got a rocket. So I wonder, as the season evolves, if it's a thing where, yeah, they're not pulling Cam out, you know, in the ninth inning when you're just looking for defense.
If Cam Smith happens to make the last out when he's batting ninth, that makes it the easy call for Espada that, hey, if it turns out you're going to have to hit again, you didn't take Altuve's turn at the plate away, presuming he gets back to hitting like the Jose Altuve we've seen for over a decade here. I wonder if eventually that influences Espada's lineup decision that, hey, you know, if you're thinking about pulling one of your corner outfielders, where maybe Smith renders that concept moot sooner than later if he shouldn't have already done so, that you want Smith batting seventh so that he and Altuve aren't back-to-back, so you're forced to lose an at-bat from one of them for sure if, say, the number seven or eight hitter made the last out as you go into the top of the ninth with a 3-2 lead and you want to pull Smith or Altuve when they'd both be coming up should you need to bat in the bottom of the inning.
Josh, going back to your point about Altuve still in the game, it's not a great look when opposing outfielders come in to Daikin and are playing caroms off of the Crawford boxes better than Altuve. And back to DiCenzo, beyond whether he's a top prospect or not, right now the Astros offensively are looking for any port in a storm. So they do not have the luxury right now of not playing their best players. And I'd like to see DiCenzo get some more opportunities considering he's coming up. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on apps like Apple or Spotify, do us a favor and give us a 5-star rating there. Next scheduled episode drops on Monday, so make sure you're subscribed to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our other channel, Sports Map Texans. We will be live covering Texans draft this week, so make sure you're subscribed over on that channel. Thanks for listening. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying until next time, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.